Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Dwaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Dwaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Dwaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Reading today from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 1, The Spiritual Masters. And we will read a few verses, beginning with verse 36, until we come to a verse with a substantial purport, which looks like is number 44. But I guess we can do this verse responsibly, sing it on the board. Shri Rupa,
Shri Rupa,
Sanatana,
Sanatana,
Bhata,
Bhata,
Raghunatha,
Raghunatha,
Shri Jiva,
Shri Jiva,
Gopala,
Gopala,
Bhata,
Bhata,
Dasa, Raghunatha, Shri Rupa Sanatana Bhata Raghunatha, Shri Jiva Gopala Bhata Dasa Raghunatha, Shri Rupa Sanatana Bhata Raghunatha Shri Jiva Gopala Bhata Dasa Raghunatha Shri Rupa Sanatana Bhata Raghunatha Jiva Gopala Bhata Dasa Raghunatha
Jiva
Gopala Bhata Dasa
Raghunatha
Rupa Shila Rupa Goswami Bhata Raghunatha Raghunath Bhata Goswami Shri Jiva Srila Jiva Goswami Gopala Bhata Gopal Bhata Goswami Dasa Raghunatha Srila Raghunath Das Goswami Translation. My instructing spiritual masters are Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Bhata Raghunath, Sri Jiva Goswami, Sri Gopal Bhata Goswami, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. There is no purport to this verse, so let's read on. Echaya Guru Shiksha Guru Ye Amara Tansabara Parapadme Koti Namaskara. These six are my instructing spiritual masters, and therefore I offer millions of respectful obeisances unto their lotus feet. is a shorter purport here. By accepting the six Goswamis as his instructing spiritual masters, the author specifically makes it clear that one should not be recognized as a Gaudiya Vaishnava if he is not obedient to them. Bhagava Nira Bhakti Yata Srivasa Pradana Tansavara Padapadme Sahasra Pranama. There are innumerable devotees of the Lord, of whom Srivasa Thakur is the foremost. I offer my respectful obeisances thousands of times unto their lotus feet. Advaita Acharya Prabhur Amsa Avatara Tanra Pada Padme Koti Pranati Amara. Advaita Acharya is the Lord's partial incarnation, and therefore I offer my obeisances millions of times at his lotus feet. Nityananda Raya Prabhur Swarupa Prakash Tanra Pada Padma Vando Yanra Muni Das. Srila Nityananda Rai is the plenary manifestation of the Lord, and I have been initiated by him. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. Gadadhara Panditadi, Gadadhara Panditadi, Prabhura Nija Shakti, Tansabara Charane Mora, Sahasra Pranati. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the internal potencies of the Lord, of whom Sri Gadadhara Prabhu is the foremost. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki, Shri Giri Govardhan ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Gaur Premanandi. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Swayam Bhagavan Tanhara Padara Vinde Ananta Pranam. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the personality of Godhead himself, and therefore I offer innumerable prostrations at his lotus feet. Savarane Prabhure Kariya Kariya Namaskar E Chaya Tenho Yaiche Kariye Vichar. Having offered obeisances unto the Lord and all his associates, I shall now try to explain these six diversities in one. And again, there's a short report. There are many unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all of whom are considered associates surrounding the Lord. Krishna should be worshipped with his devotees. The diverse principles are therefore the eternal paraphernalia through which the absolute truth can be approached. And finally, text 44, and there's a more substantial purport to this. Yadyapi Amara Guru Chaitanyera Das Tatapi Janiye Ami Tanhara Prakash. Although I know that my spiritual master is a servitor of Sri Chaitanya, I know him also as a plenary manifestation of the Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Every living entity is essentially a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the spiritual master is also his servant. Still, the spiritual master is a direct manifestation of the Lord. With this conviction, a disciple can advance in Krishna consciousness. The spiritual master is non-different from Krishna because he is a manifestation of Krishna. Lord Nityananda, who is Lord Balaram himself, the first direct manifestation or expansion of Krishna, is the original spiritual master. He helps Lord Krishna in his pastimes, and he is a servant of the Lord. Every living entity is eternally a servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Therefore, the spiritual master cannot be other than a servant of Lord Chaitanya. The spiritual master's eternal occupation is to expand the service of the Lord by training disciples in a service attitude. A spiritual master never poses as the Supreme Lord himself. He is considered a representative of the Lord. The revealed scriptures prohibit one's pretending to be God, but a bona fide spiritual master is a most faithful and confidential servant of the Lord, and therefore deserves as much respect as Krishna. Yadyapi amara guru chaitanyera das tatapi janiye ami tanhara prakash. Although I know that my spiritual master is a servitor of Sri Chaitanya, I know him also as a plenary manifestation of the Lord. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutalaya Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhaskatyade Jatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajkalpaturubhya Jagripa Sindhu Vyavacha Paditana Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So this is the first chapter of the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita. It has been titled Spiritual Masters, plural, and it's giving very important, very essential information about some very essential aspects of Krishna consciousness. Some things which they are mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, they are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, but perhaps not quite as explicitly and clearly as they're mentioned here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is, among many other things, one of the values of Chaitanya Charitamrita, because there's so many examples in Chaitanya Charitamrita of, showing us how to be a devotee, what to do, not just what to do, but how great devotees live, how they act, how they think, how they feel. That is there to some degree in Bhagavad Gita, but not so much. It is there in Srimad Bhagavatam more, but also not so much, not like here. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is just full to the point of overflowing with different statements and different examples of how to be a devotee. And everything is presented in a very deep way. Not just simple way like Bhagavad Gita 4:34. Generally, so many devotees at least are familiar with that verse. Tadvani paripatena pariprasnena sevaya uradeksyanti te jnanam jnaninas tadvadarshanaha. Such a famous verse. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So of course that is very nice. That is very important. Essential. But in one sense, it is the only verse in Bhagavad Gita in which Lord Krishna really addresses the relationship with the spiritual master very much. Of course, Arjuna, earlier in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he speaks one verse in which he does express very essential part of being a disciple, the consciousness of a disciple. Shishyasteham sadimam tvam prapanam. Now I'm your disciple and the soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. So of course, that's also very nice and very important. Of course, an interesting point is that immediately after speaking this verse in Bhagavad Gita at the beginning of the second chapter, immediately after, Arjuna immediately turns around, having said, I am your disciple, please instruct me. Now I am a soul surrendered unto you. But don't tell me to fight in the battle. So you see there's some sort of little complexity there. Eventually things get sorted out by the mercy of Krishna. But still it is a fact that Arjuna's initial statement there of his attitude in the role of Shishya, which means disciple. His initial expression there, it's not really, he hasn't really come to that point. It's more like a sentiment, because he immediately turns around and starts objecting to what Krishna says and not wanting to do what Krishna says. So it's certainly not really complete. And then Krishna makes that statement in 4:34 from the position, well anyway, a descriptive statement. So that's nice. But how to really live the life of a disciple and how to see the spiritual master and how to relate with the spiritual master and not just in general senses, but in very detailed ways under different circumstances, when different things are happening and so on and so on and so on, including vivid, at least one vivid example, if not more, of what happens if you are a disciple, but you do not accept the position of being a disciple and rather you become a nonsense disciple. Of course, there cannot really be a nonsense disciple. You're either a disciple or not. The only disciple is a good disciple, really. But if you are meant to be a disciple but you become a nonsense, that is illustrated very vividly in the Antya-lila, in the story about Ramachandra Puri. I think you've heard of Ramachandra Puri. And on the other hand, his godbrother, who is described also in the same chapter, was Ishvara Puri, who was a very nice disciple. And, well, it's just an interesting point that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in the course of the description of the two of them, and most particularly it's a description of the nonsense disciple, Ramachandra Puri, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that by presenting these two examples of Ishvara Puri on one hand, the excellent first-class disciple, and Ramachandra Puri on the other hand, the offensive nonsense, useless liability disciple, Ramachandra Puri on the other hand. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, by presenting these two examples, Madhavendra Puri has instructed the whole world, which includes us, 500 or so years later. So this is a very important subject matter, and we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita so many living examples of people who are disciples and good disciples and who really carry out that role of being a disciple in very exemplary ways. Ishvara Puri, we just mentioned, he himself, he is a first-class example. He was, when Madhavendra Puri was in the process of leaving this world, Ishvara Puri came to see him for the last time and offer respects for the last time and render some service for the last time. And he saw that Madhavendra Puri's position in material terms was physically very compromised. His physical condition was really extremely weak because he was in the process, basically, in the process of leaving his body. And Ishvara Puri, his physical condition was so much affected that he could not stand up. He couldn't stand up. So he was bedridden. And therefore, he couldn't do anything for himself. He couldn't wash himself, couldn't feed himself, couldn't even use the toilet himself. So, seeing this, Ishvara Puri, as the good disciple, he took it upon himself to help Madhavendra Puri do all these things and whatever needed to be done, but particularly those very, very basic physical necessities which generally you just do yourself, and you know, there's no question you would consider it very weird if someone was trying to help you do things like that. But Ishvarapuri, he would bathe with his own hands the body of Madhavendra Puri. He would dress him, and he would even clean up his stolen urine with his own hands. And while he was doing that, he was not thinking that, you know, why do I have to do this? This is so dirty and things like that. Rather, he was in ecstasy in Krishna consciousness. And while he was doing these extremely basic types of material type services for his spiritual master, he was singing and chanting very happily, joyfully. And as a result of all these things put together, Madhavendra Puri was extremely pleased with him. On one hand, you're doing all these basic things which I'm just not able to do for myself. On the other hand, you are reminding me of Krishna and enlivening me with your Krishna Katar and your Kirtan and Bhajan. Thank you so much. And he blessed him. May you become a great devotee and lover of Krishna. And as a result, Ishvarapuri became such a devotee. He was already just an excellent, really excellent devotee. But he became such a devotee that when Lord Chaitanya met him, Lord Chaitanya was so impressed that Lord Chaitanya felt, I want to accept this devotee as my spiritual master. And he did. So, Lord Chaitanya, as we know, was initiated by Ishvarapuri. On the other hand, Ramachandrapuri, he also came to offer his last respects, and he saw, there is my spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, in this very extremely feeble condition. And Madhavendra Puri, he was at that very concluding part of his life. He was remembering Krishna and just absorbed in thinking of Krishna. And he was lamenting at least how he saw himself. That I've wasted my life. Look, I had this long life. Now I'm in my old age. I'm about to leave my body. But what have I done? At least this was how he felt. I didn't develop love for Krishna. He certainly did. But at least in his humility as a devotee, this is how he felt. And he was praying to Krishna. Dina Dayadranath Hay Matura Natha Kadabalok Yusei. How does it go? Hridayam Twad Aloka Kataram Dayata Brahmyati Kim Karomyaham. O my Lord Krishna, O Master of Mathura, here I am, just wandering in this material world. And I haven't achieved your lotus feet. So please tell me, Kim Karomyaham, what should I do? What should I do now? And he was crying in that very deep mood of separation in Krishna consciousness. And Ramachandrapuri came in and saw him like this. And Ramachandrapuri, because he was already a nonsense, he had not accepted the mood as Srila Prabhupada describes in this purport, and as the verse itself says, of seeing his spiritual master as an intimate servant of the Lord, or even as a plenary manifestation of the Lord. He was not seeing his spiritual master like that. It's a little hard to say how he was seeing his spiritual master, but it certainly wasn't like that. It was some extremely relative type of perception that he had. And particularly when he saw, there's Madhavendra Puri lamenting in separation from Krishna and crying, Ramachandra Puri took it in a very mundane way. And he was thinking, well, you know, he is my spiritual master. I guess I should do something for him. Yeah, I better do something for him, I suppose. So what shall I do? Well, I don't know. You know, I don't want to clean up the stool in urine. That's really dirty. But what can I do? I must do something. I know what I'll do. I see he's lamenting here in a very emotional condition. I know what I'll do. I'll give him some good advice. Because he had that sort of attitude already, you know, you could say very compromised attitude or perception, perspective on his spiritual master. So he was already influenced by non-Krishna conscious concepts, like material concepts, like impersonal concepts. He was already influenced by them, and at least partially accepting them as being normal and correct. So what he did, he said, yes, I'll serve my spiritual master. How will I do it? I will give him some good advice. So he said to Madhavendra Puri, why are you lamenting like this in this emotional condition? You must stabilize yourself. And you must focus your mind on Brahman. He's already influenced by some impersonalism. Focus your mind on the impersonal Brahman. And get focused, get steady. And don't just let your emotions carry you away and carry your mind away. So, Madhavendra Puri told Ramachandra Puri, you rascal, you just get out of here. Just get out of here. How dare you say these things when I'm in the process of leaving my body? If I see you when I leave my body, I don't know where I'll go in my next life. So get out. Anyway, there are many, many examples in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and some very beautiful examples of how to be a disciple, and some about how not to be a disciple, and how to deal as a disciple under different circumstances and different situations and when different things are happening. It's extremely interesting and it's extremely valuable. So here, of course, we're right at the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and some basic points are being made. First point that we read was that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he had one initiating spiritual master. Who was that? We actually just read it.
very clearly. Huh? Lord Nityananda. He was an initiated disciple of Lord Nityananda. Just imagine having Lord Nityananda as your spiritual master. That's really quite a wow situation. That would be quite amazing. So anyway, there he was. And he stated it. My initiating Diksha Guru is Lord Nityananda himself. However, Sri Rupa Sanatana Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta, Dasa Raghunath, Siksha, they are my Siksha Gurus. Because the principle, the philosophy or the principle is, one must have only one initiating spiritual master, but one can have practically any number of instructing spiritual masters or Siksha Gurus. Even there are different types, at least two, but there may really also be more than two types of instructing spiritual masters. There's Bhajma Pradarshika Guru, which basically means the guru who shows you the way or illuminates the path, means the guru or the person, the devotee, who at the very initial stage shows you this is Krishna consciousness, you should take to Krishna consciousness, you should be a devotee, and influences you to do that. From not being a devotee, he or she influences you to become a devotee and get started as a devotee. And then, in a broader sense, Siksha Guru means those devotees who give you relevant and useful instructions as you are traversing that path on the way back to Goloka Vrindavan. And as we said, as Chaitanya Charitamrita says, there may be, and often there are, many such devotees. It can mean, well, like we said, there could be a number of different types. It can mean a spiritual master, a devotee, who regularly gives you instruction on an ongoing basis to help you in your devotional service, even though you're initiated by another devotee who is your Diksha Guru, initiating guru, and who you have a good relationship with. But it can also mean someone who gives you some occasional instructions. Just like we find there is the in Srimad Bhagavatam, late in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the example of the Avanti Brahman. The Avanti Brahman was traveling around, and as he was traveling around here and there, he was observing different people, even different animals, even different inanimate objects. And he was learning from them. He was learning from them. And as such, he was accepting them as being gurus. He was accepting them in this sense as being gurus because he was learning from them. For example, he was learning, among other things, he was learning from the birds that you can just take some food and you don't have to hoard it. You don't have to hoard it. The food will come. So Even Prabhupada mentioned the example. Someone drops a bag of grains in the street and it bursts open their grains all over the street. So, a little bird comes and pecks up some grains and goes away. Of course, a human being comes, gathers up all the grains, and takes them home. That's a sort of lesson also. But Srila Prabhupada, and just generally in Krishna consciousness, we do not appreciate this mentality of hoarding. Even Prabhupada said that we, as devotees, we are trying to spread Krishna consciousness. People are giving money. We're selling books. People are giving donations. So money is coming. Prabhupada said, by the end of the day, you should have spent all the money on Krishna's service, of course. You should have spent it all. The money comes in during the day, by the evening, you should have spent it all on different things for Krishna, different types of devotional service to Krishna. Don't hoard it. When Maharaj Parikshit met the personality of Kali, in the beginning, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he was going to kill Kali. But then Kali surrendered to him. And Maharaj Parikshit was therefore not able to kill him. And Kali said, now I am your dependent. You must give me somewhere to live. And Maharaj Parikshit said, fine. You can live where people are eating meat, engaging in illicit sex life, taking intoxicants and gambling. Go and live there. Kali objected. There is nobody doing that. So, effectively, you have failed to give me a place to live, and I'm your dependent citizen. So you must think of some other type of place. So Maharaj Parikshit said, okay, you can live where people are hoarding gold. After the four regulative principles, this is sort of like the next type of sinful activity. And of course, Vaishnava Aparad, or Aparad within Krishna consciousness, it's in a different category. But when we talk about material sinful activity, after the meat eating, etc., next comes hoarding gold. Because gold or money is a passport to material enjoyment. Just like when you have a passport, you can go here and there all over the world. Without a passport, they won't even let you on the plane. They will not check in your bags. So, but if you've got a passport, you can go practically anywhere. So money is like that. Gold, it's a passport. You can buy the opposite sex. You can buy intoxication. You can buy practically anything. In South Africa, at least, there's a famous saying, money talks and everyone walks. I don't know if it's a Mauritian saying also. But money talks and everyone walks means you can buy anything. So this is what Maharaj Parikshit said to Kali, and Kali looked around, there was no one hoarding gold either. But there was one man. He was thinking of hoarding gold. And Kali went and lived in his mind, and then from there spread out. Yes. So, the Avanti Brahman, then we were saying, he was learning from all these different animals and even objects like rocks. And he was then saying, this is my guru, that is my guru, because he was really learning. And these things were just impacting themselves on his heart. So like this, we can have many Siksha gurus. And even if at least, if we're really serious about Krishna consciousness and we really want to learn in Krishna consciousness, and we're really alert to learn and progress in Krishna consciousness and take advantage, make the most of whatever opportunities arise, then indeed we will end up with many Siksha gurus. Actually, it's practically inevitable. Those who are really narrow-minded, they accept only their initiating spiritual master, and everybody else is sort of like, you know, doesn't really matter. They're okay, but the only one who is really an important factor in my life is my initiating spiritual master. But as if a devotee is really serious to advance and learn and develop as a devotee, then they will be able to learn from practically anyone. The gopis, they were asking the trees, where is Krishna? And the trees were not saying anything. But the trees, for example, because of their fruits, their branches were hanging down and touching the ground. So even though the trees didn't say anything, the gopis learned that, ah, Krishna must have passed by here because you're still offering obeisances. Because your branches are touching the ground. So they got some instruction from the trees, even though the trees are not really able to give any instruction. So a devotee who's really serious will find opportunities to learn from, in so many ways, really in so many ways. And therefore, Chanakya Pandit says, what is it? You can take gold from a dirty place. You can what? Take instructions from somebody. Who is it?
Yes. From prostitute.
No.
Marry a woman from.
You can marry a woman from a low class family.
Extract nectar from even poison.
You can extract nectar from poison. And very interesting practical example is when Srila Prabhupada, very early in his mission in America, Srila Prabhupada had some sort of mild heart attack or very mild stroke, some sort of thing like that, and it was a big national holiday in America. They tried to find a doctor, they couldn't find a doctor because it was a holiday. And eventually they somehow located one drunk doctor. And this man, he was, as Prabhupada would say, not all right. And he came to where Prabhupada was staying and sort of examined him a bit and said, "Ah, there's nothing wrong with him. He just needs some exercise." Actually, Prabhupada had just had some sort of heart attack stroke, which is really serious. But this man in his silly way said, "Ah, nothing wrong, just need some exercise." So you can take gold from a dirty place And even a fool may will, you know, I mean, it's practically inevitable. Sooner or later, they must say something correct. Because, you know, it's very difficult to be wrong all the time. You have to really try hard. So, you can even sometimes get some instruction from a fool. But if you just write him off, he's just a fool, and he is just, you know, that's the end of him. You know, you're missing out, because sometimes he will say something correct. And this is what happens in this case with this doctor. And Srila Prabhupada, as soon as he recovered, he started his famous program of his morning walk. For exercise, Prabhupada would walk fast. He didn't just amble down the road, just wandering. He walked. It was exercise. He exerted himself. And before that, he was not doing it. He did not have a practice at all of doing any exercise of any sort in a sort of systematic way until he met that drunk doctor. And so Srila Prabhupada's morning walks became famous. And they're still famous. And they were venues for Srila Prabhupada to give so many instructions. So just see, you could take gold from a dirty place, or instructions even from a fool, if they're correct, and so on. And a girl from a low family, and whatever, like that. But if you just sort of narrow-minded, prejudiced, then you'll miss so many opportunities, actually. Yes, so like this. This is a very important part of Krishna consciousness. Gurus, the whole subject of Guru Tattva, it's a big subject, and indeed it's worthy of seminars and, you know, very focused type of study and attention. But here, it's very interesting. If anybody, you know, there is this tendency we mentioned, and it's there in ISKCON, at least it has been in the past, and I'm sure it still is to some degree, that I am initiated by somebody. So, very good, that's nice, if they're bona fide guru within ISKCON, good. So I'm initiated by somebody, and he is wonderful. Well, that's also good. In fact, he is so wonderful that, you know, he is the most wonderful. And in fact, he is so much the most wonderful that everybody else, you know, we don't really need to bother about them very much. Yeah. When they give class, I may come, or not, or depends what I have to do. Yes, so this sort of mood, the interesting point I'd like to mention is that if anybody was in a position to say, my guru is the best, and he's really a lot better than any of the others. If anyone was ever in a position where they could say that, and it might be true, it would be Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami himself, because his guru is Lord Nityananda. And compared to Lord Nityananda, you know, who is some jiva soul? some ordinary living entity like us. Who are they compared to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You know, they're just literally in a different category. However, he accepted, as we read, Sri Rupa Sanatana Bhatta Raghuna, Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghuna. He accepted them as his Siksha Gurus, and he really accepted them, particularly Rupa and Raghunath Das. You'll see at the end of every chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami offers his respects to them and takes the dust from their lotus feet. Because he has such respect, because they are helping him so much, he feels that this is the only appropriate thing to do, to offer them respect like that. So you might think, this is contradictory. How can you have so much respect of this type, respecting them as spiritual master for a number of people at the same time? It seems contradictory, at least to the materialistic mind. You know, like in material life, a man loves a woman, quote unquote. That could mean many things. And so he marries her. If he then loves other women also, this is not appropriate, is it? In fact, it is not really possible, actually, to actually love them. But here we have, in Krishna consciousness, spiritually, transcendentally, the devotee may love many people in the same way, and with extreme depth and extreme feeling. But it's not contradictory. Actually, it's good. It's desirable. So, yeah, this is part of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is such an amazing process. If you go into it, you see how much deeper it is than any other process. Same thing you see in the beginning of Nectar of Devotion. Rupa Goswami, the author, is initiated by Lord Chaitanya. Now, if you thought being initiated by Lord Nityananda is pretty good, what about being initiated by Lord Chaitanya? But you see, in the beginning of Nectar of Devotion, there is, Prabhupada has translated his Mangala Charana, different prayers and different expressions, initial expressions as he begins the book. So of course he offers his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya, but then he offers his obeisances to Sanatana Goswami, who is his Siksha Guru, or at least one of them. Yes. So, these are things we need to learn. These are things we need to learn. And in order to learn them, we need to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Or at least hear from devotees who have read Chaitanya Charitamrita. But actually, we really need to read Chaitanya Charitamrita also. Because they're just so many examples in so many ways of these interactions between gurus and disciples, and just interactions between devotees. There's the famous incident, Govinda, who is the godbrother of Lord Chaitanya, not the disciple. He's also a disciple of Ishvara Puri, but on the instruction of Ishvara Puri, he became the personal servant of Lord Chaitanya, and he would massage Lord Chaitanya every day. One day, Lord Chaitanya fell asleep, but he told Govinda, "You have to massage me." Lord Chaitanya was lying in such a way by the door of his little room, the Gundicha. Govinda, in order to massage Lord Chaitanya, he had to step over his body, Lord Chaitanya's body. And then he finished. By that time, Lord Chaitanya had fallen asleep. And it was prasadam time. And you know the rule, right? Prasadam takes precedence. Well, it is a rule, but it's also a good excuse. So it was prasadam time. And the prasadam was right there for Govinda, Lord Chaitanya's remnants. But what to do? How's he going to get past Lord Chaitanya? Because Lord Chaitanya is blocking the way now. So he could always get out the same way he got in, by stepping over Lord Chaitanya's body. But he felt, no, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. I stepped over Lord Chaitanya's body to render service to him on his order. But now, to serve my own senses, go and eat prasadam, I can't do the same thing, because the situation is different. It is now not my personal service to Lord Chaitanya, it's just my own personal consideration of eating. So he didn't do it, he just sat there until Lord Chaitanya woke up, and Lord Chaitanya asked him, "What are you doing? Sitting there. You're meant to go and take lunch when you've finished massaging me, when I've fallen asleep. There's your prasada. What are you doing?" And so Govinda said, "Well, I couldn't." And he didn't actually say it, but in his mind he thought, "In order to serve you, if you order me, I'm willing to do so many things. Even things which might be considered offensive under certain circumstances, like stepping over the body of a devotee, is an offense, generally. But for your service, under your order, I'm willing even to do things like that. But for me, I'm not willing to even consider just, you know, some hint of an offense. Therefore, I didn't step over you." And Lord Chaitanya chastised him, and he just sat there. He didn't protest or give any arguments. So it's a big subject. Take the time to go into it, and it'll help you in your Krishna consciousness. Any comment or question?
Concerning accepting the spiritual master, our devotee who already have a spiritual master, that he left, should he accept another one or continue to serve the Prabhupada's instruction without being reinitiated from someone?
Has left Krishna consciousness or left his body?
Fallen down.
Well, it's really up to him. He shouldn't be reinitiated unless he really wants to be. If he really wants to be, and there is a spiritual master who he actually feels to accept and be initiated by, accept as spiritual master, then he should do it. But if he doesn't really, you know, if he feels a strong enough connection with Prabhupada, and a strong enough connection through siksha, with other senior devotees, it's not exactly that he has to be. It may well be better. You know, there used to be an ISKCON law. It was felt that they should be, they must be. But then it was felt that, because then some did, but before they really felt that this is my spiritual master. You know, it was kind of like a formality. Okay, I'll accept reinitiation. From who? Oh, why not him? Yeah, he's okay. So it wasn't a real guru-disciple relationship. So, you know, reinitiation generally is good, but it should only happen when a person really comes to that point of accepting the proposed guru as guru. Yeah. And if somehow or other they don't or can't accept them to that degree, then it may be better just to take shelter, particularly of Srila Prabhupada. But you know, the thing is that just generally in terms of Vaishnav being devotees, like we mentioned, if someone's serious about Krishna consciousness, they'll be looking for mercy and direction from a number of sources. They won't just be, you know, very narrow-minded about it. And if such a thing happens, then they will really feel the need for shelter. And then they'll feel the need to be initiated. So, you know, generally speaking, under sort of relatively healthy circumstances, they would be reinitiated again, or be reinitiated, even though there's no rule that says you have to, and, you know, like that. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.